Pi Day is a great day for me, and I will share something with you, which is I used to be a Pi Day skeptic, and I know that there are some people out there who still go, oh, Pi Day, that's really dumb.
This is Eugenia Chang. She's a mathematician and author of a book called How to Bake Pi, as in the number pi, P-I. We met up recently at New York's Little Pi Company. That's pie, like the food. We met up because Pi Day is coming. Yes, March 14th, 314, 3.14. You know, Pi Day.
Pi Day is one day a year that a whole load of people get to be excited about math. People who were otherwise not excited about math at all. So what could be terrible about that?
You're preaching in the choir, Eugenia. That's why I don't understand why would you have been a skeptic?
It's because I was in the UK. And in the UK, we write our dates the other way around.
Oh,
and so
right.
It doesn't make so much sense for many people in the world. And so I think that some people have a backlash where they go, oh, this is the American way of writing dates.
Right.
And you know what? What's the harm of taking a day to eat some pie and have some fun with math?
And if ever there was an argument for why our way of writing dates is better, it's Pi Day.
I think
day.
This is it. Yeah, I think that we should write the dates differently the whole year. Just so that we can have Pi Day. I think it's a great reason.
All right, done.
Yeah, done. Okay, that sorted that out.
Talk to the Queen.
Right, what else should we fix?
Today on The Sporkful, it's our Pi Day Spectacular. I'll talk to Eugenia Chang about what math can teach us about food and what food can teach us about math. Then, a former White House pastry chef reveals the very particular way President Obama eats his pie. And finally, a debate over the definition of pie with Good Foods Evan Kleiman.
It's called a cheesecake.
Well,
people had many, many, many years to change the name and call it a cheese pie.
This debate's gonna get heated.
Are you waiting for me to cave?
No, let's just keep arguing until I cut your mic. Stick around. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Before we get to the show, we're just a few weeks away from our live Sporkful taping at the Chicago Cocktail Summit with special guest Peter Sagal of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. The show is Sunday afternoon, April 2nd in Logan Square. Tickets on sale now at cocktailsummit.com. Now, I'm super excited about this show because every year on March 14th, I wake up and I say, we forgot to do a Pi Day show for The Sporkful. Pi Day always sneaks up on me. But this year, we are prepared. We are on the ball. Like I said, I met up with mathematician Eugenia Chang at the Little Pi Company in Manhattan. I asked her to start off by just reminding me what the number pi actually is.
Pi is the ratio between the circumference of a circle and the diameter. So let's recap. The circumference is the distance around the outside of a circle, and the diameter is the distance across the middle of the circle. So to put that in more day-to-day terms, the circumference is what you measure around your waist when you're trying to see how fat you are. And the diameter is what you look like in the mirror when you're seeing how wide you are.
I see. And why is this number special? Why is the number pi so special?
One of the reasons that the number is special is because it's fundamental. Now, it's kind of magic in a way that if you divide the distance around the outside by the distance across the middle, it's always the same.
No matter how big or small
your circle
right.
is. I like thinking it's kind of magic. I like enjoying how weird it seems that number is always the same.
Should we order some pie?
Oh, definitely.
And then eat some pie and talk
yes.
more? Let's go up to the counter and scope out the options. Come with me.
Look at all that pie. What are we going to have?
So there's a lot of mini pies here, and then there's three big pies that we can get slices of. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
And the three pies we can get slices of are?
The three berry, strawberry rhubarb, and sour cream apple walnuts.
And what are the three berries in the three berry?
Raspberry, blueberry, and strawberry.
Are there 3.14159 berries in the three berry?
You said this one's strawberry rhubarb? Okay,
so
maybe we could take a fraction of the
strawberries
and
put it inside
the rhubarb and put it
and then we'll have made a pie.
Oh my God, this is already the nerdiest podcast we've ever done. All right, let's get one slice of each and we're gonna make ourselves a pie.
Okay.
The strawberry rhubarb pie was really good. Nice and tart, kind of sweet, but you had that rhubarb tart in there. Very good. The three berry was good, as was our pie pie. But my personal favorite was the sour cream apple walnut with a thick crumb topping. In fact, it was so good, I ordered another slice. And this time, I asked them not to warm it up. I suspect that the crumb topping and the crust might be a little crisper in the unheated. Because I think they're microwaving it to heat it up.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to share a personal secret with you. Is
Please
that
do.
All right?
Yes,
and
no.
with everyone else.
This is a safe space for you.
Okay, good. Is that okay? I feel nervous, sir. But I'm going to share with you the
should
fact
that... Should we go to the bar and get you a drink first?
Maybe we should, but you know, I feel ready to share the fact
Please,
that...
Please, yes.
I don't like crunchy things on gooey things.
Really?
I've said it. Everyone knows.
That is fascinating. Why not?
It gets in the way. I like the goo. I like goo as a goo is definitely my favorite texture. It's very... Well, what can I say? It's gooey. It's warm. It's comforting.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, sensory scientists have said that the what people on average like the most is what they call dynamic contrast in bites.
Mm-hmm.
So like a gooey part mixed mm-hmm. with a crunchy part.
So there are two lessons here.
Okay.
One is a math lesson about averages, which is that even if that is the average, it doesn't mean that that's what everyone likes.
Right.
And the other lesson is a lesson about my personality. Which is that I often don't like the same thing as other people somehow. And then I go around feeling really strange.
You're an iconoclast is what you're saying. You go against the conventional wisdom.
But not deliberately. I wouldn't dogmatically go against it.
No, you're following your own path. For you to have chosen this path in life to be this sort of math evangelist.
Yeah, I decided that was important because it makes me sad that other people don't love math as much as I do. And I think it's because math is misunderstood. You know, like if you have a friend and you see their good qualities and no one else likes them because they misunderstand them, wouldn't you want to show everybody what the actually good qualities of your friend are?
Absolutely, and I feel the exact same way about crunch.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So Eugenia, on Pi Day, What mathematical lessons can we learn when we eat pie?
One of the mathematical lessons we can learn when we eat pie is how to make our pie last forever.
Wow. Okay, go on.
Well, we eat half of the pie. I think I've already violated that part because I've eaten way more than half of this pie. And then you eat half of what's left. And then you eat half of what's left. And then you eat half of what's left. And there'll always be half of what's left. So you'll never finish the pie. Of course, at some point it'll get too small to see, but then you should just get your microscope out and you'll always have more pie.
And tweezers.
Yes.
Eugenia and I talked about our favorite bites of a slice of pie. She likes the parts where the filling flavor has really soaked into the crust. I like the part where the bottom crust meets the vertical side crust, because then you get some soft, moist bottom crust and also some drier, crispier edge, plus the fillings. I've put some thought into how to make a pie to get more of those ideal bites of the vertical side crust and bottom crust.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized is that with the same quantity of all the ingredients, same mm-hmm. ratios, mm-hmm. you would get more of those bites if you baked your pie in a square shape.
Uh-huh.
Because you would have more edge.
Yes, that is true. Now, if you want maximal edge, how about making smaller pies, individual ones?
Well, that's too far in the other direction, then you're going to lose your interior ratios.
Oh, so it's a balance between those two. How about a star shape?
How about an S shape?
Oh, an S shape or a flower. Or a fractal.
Yeah. There's money in that.
Infinite edge.
Fractal pie uh-huh. tins. Oh, yeah. My God. Uh-huh. Copyright, Eugenia and Dan right there. Boom. Uh-huh. 50-50. We'll go
Boom.
Halves.
Okay.
All right.
Deal. We have witnesses.
Wait, tell me again what a fractal is.
A fractal is something that is the same as itself when you zoom in. So you imagine zooming in, say, on your computer screen, and it looks the same, and you zoom in again, it looks the same, and you zoom in again, it looks the same. So you can make a fractal edge. One example is called the Koch snowflake, where you make a snowflake, and it goes like this. You start with a triangle, and then you take each edge of your triangle, and you make a pointy thing stick out of it, so that you've made it more pointy. And then you take each edge of the star, and you make it pointy. And then you take each edge of your pointy thing and you make it pointy. And so you keep going like that. You take each edge and you go, I don't want that edge to be straight. I want it to be pointy to get more pie crust.
You're constantly increasing surface area.
edge length.
Well, if it was three-dimensional, it would be surface
area.
Oh,
yeah, three-dimensional fractal. I like the way you think. Immediately generalizing. Yeah. You're totally a mathematician.
Am I?
Yeah, definitely.
That's mathematician Eugenia Chang. She's the author of How to Bake Pie, an edible exploration of the mathematics of mathematics. Coming up, our Pi Day spectacular continues. I'll talk with former White House pastry chef Bill Yassas, the man President Obama nicknamed the Crust Master. And I'll get him to spill all his crust secrets, I promise. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. I hope you've had a chance to check out my new animated web series, The Snackdown. It's a show where I have the kinds of arguments you love to hear on The Sporkful in animated form. I'm a cartoon spork, of course. There's two episodes up now with more to come. In one, comic Mike Kaplan and I debate whether a taco is a sandwich.
Taking one slice of bread and putting peanut butter and jelly on it and then folding it into a U, are you saying that that is a peanut butter and jelly taco? You'd have to.
No, I don't.
You must say.
No, I must not.
You must admit.
I must not.
Well, then if it's a sandwich, then a taco is a sandwich.
Check out all the episodes of The Snackdown today at cookingchanneltv.com/sporkful. Now, back to Pi Day. Bill Yassas has been a pastry chef at some of the finest restaurants in America. In 2007, then-First Lady Laura Bush hired him to be the White House pastry chef, and he stayed there for 7 years through most of the Obama administration. Now he makes pies that he sells through his website, perfectpie.com. I went to visit him in the Perfect Pie kitchen. When you were the White House pastry chef, President Obama nicknamed you the Crust Master.
That's true.
What's the secret to a great pie crust?
Don't overwork the dough. I mean, this is common knowledge. Don't overwork it. It becomes elastic. You lose the flakiness. Cold butter cut into small pieces. That's another thing which is pretty much well known by anybody that bakes. The right amount of salt. I say that because I think people are timid about salt. Flour without salt is just really bland. So that's key. Measure your salt. I prefer to measure by weight, and that's what I recommend to people. And if someone asked me to make the perfect pie crust, I would use some lard.
Yeah.
But you don't even need that much. Maybe 10-20% is enough to give that crackling, flaky, delicious.
Well, and the idea that lard is so bad for you is a misconception.
It's a saturated fat.
And not worse than butter.
That's right. That's right.
I know when you're working with the Obamas, I know they're pretty health conscious.
Very much so.
Mrs. Obama pretty aware of the menu.
True.
Did she ever have lard in her pie crust?
We did. And I soon found out that the pies were going to be limited to once or twice a week.
Okay.
However, I was never asked to change the recipe.
I'm so glad to hear that the Obamas had that strategy, because that's my strategy too, is, you know, all things in moderation, including moderation. You know,
that's right?
Right.
As, you know, as like, Julia would have said. Yes. Uh-huh.
I would always rather have a fantastic slice of pie one day a week.
Exactly.
Than a mediocre pie every day.
And you're satisfied with a really delicious dish.
Right.
Even if it has butter and salt.
And you'll get more pleasure out of it if you're not having it every day.
Yeah, it's satisfying.
Yes.
So true.
What was President Obama's approach to eating a slice of pie? Did he have a specific strategy that you can tell me about?
Oh, yes. I'm glad you asked that.
Oh, good.
Push all the fruit away and just eat the crust.
Okay. He's a crust man.
That's right. Now, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but there were times when the crust was gone and maybe some of the filling left.
Interesting. So when he calls you the crust master, he's a crust guy.
He's very serious about it.
Did you ever alter the ratios of the pies you made for him to make them more crust heavy as a result of his approach?
No, not really. No, we sort of stuck with what we thought was the ideal ratio. This brings up my favorite pet peeve.
Okay.
And that is people who make very tiny pies, like petit four size, where it's all crust and no filling. That's wrong. They should just, you know, the pie's got to be at least 4 to 5 inches in diameter so that you get filling and crust ratio.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Yeah. I have looked into the possibility, because I love that bite where the bottom crust meets the vertical side crust of making pie in squares instead of in circles.
Yeah.
If you were to take the same quantity of ingredients, same quantity of crust, quantity of filling, and simply shape it as a square instead of a circle, you would have more perimeter.
That's true. There's only one thing wrong with that.
What's that?
A circle bakes better than a square. A square or a rectangle in a larger size, the edges will burn and the because they're exposed and the inside will not cook as evenly. So that's why we cook things circular. That's why cakes are circles. That's why pies are circles.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just like the pie tin lobby had imposed these standards upon us.
There was must have been an edict by a pastry chef in the Middle Ages.
Or a pope.
Or a pope, probably. Yes, that they must be round. But it makes sense. I'm a very opinionated pastry chef.
Well, is there any other kind of pastry chef?
No, there isn't.
No, you wouldn't have devoted your life to this if you didn't have strong opinions.
That's true.
That would not be a life worth living.
That's true.
That's Bill Yassas, former White House pastry chef. You can order his pies at perfectpie.com. So I could not do a Pie Day show without my friend, Evan Kleiman. She is the most serious pie lover I know. Growing up, she didn't have birthday cake. She had birthday pie. She once spent an entire summer making a pie every day, 65 total. Now as host of Good Food on KCRW in LA, she oversees the Good Food Pie Contest every year, which draws hundreds of competitors and thousands of eaters. Evan and I also have a history of debating each other. You may recall a show a few years ago where we argued over whether a burrito is a wrap. I say yes, she says no. So I knew I had to get Evan back on the show when I got this question from a listener.
Hey, this is Emily from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I'm calling about a question that we have in my family about what constitutes a pie. Every year at Thanksgiving, we have a pie contest that is baking, not eating. And there's been some question over the years as to what actually constitutes a pie. Does a cheesecake count? What about a tart? These both contain crusts. Is that what defines a pie? Or is it something about the list of ingredients that's either found in the crust or filling? Thank you so much.
All right, Evan. I'll let you lead off.
Yes.
Take the lead
here. The nomenclature. Well, you know, every year for the pie contest, this exact question always comes up. And what we've said is it has to be in a pie plate. Tarts are different because they tend to have a more sturdy crust that has the addition of eggs to it and more sugar than a pie crust does, because often with a tart, you want it to be freestanding. You take it out of the ring that you actually baked it in. Cheesecake is more difficult, I think. First of all, I think of the history or the culture of cheesecake in other culinary cultures besides America, like French culture and Italian culture. Often you will see an Italian cheesecake-like thing made more like a pie in a more shallow dish with a traditional pie crust, maybe having some lattice on the top. That, I would say grudgingly, is a pie. But an American cheesecake baked in a springform pan with a graham cracker crust, I would not accept that as a pie in our pie contest. It would never be allowed to win.
So can you delineate the difference between the Italian cheesecake and the American cheesecake? What exactly is it that makes the Italian one a pie but not the American one?
I think American pie is so laden with a certain kind of 1940s nostalgia that we've come to think of pies as this thing that's delivered in pretty much a 9-inch circular pie pan with a bit of a slope to it and a ridge on the side that allows you to build up an edge that you can get a lot of nice, you know, dark crust in your mouth from. So when you take something out of that pan, then all of a sudden the ratio of filling to crust changes.
But I would argue that a cheesecake, even an American-style cheesecake, is a misnomer. I think it is a pie because I would define a pie, I think the most essential feature of a pie is that it has a bottom crust with some kind of sides that holds in fillings. In order for a food to be a cake, it must have cake. Cake is a specific type of food. It is a specific sweetened bread product. If your food doesn't have that thing, then you can't call it cake.
What about flourless chocolate cake?
I think that's also a misnomer. I think you should probably call that fudge.
But
you know?
Really good flourless chocolate cakes are light as air. They're not fudgy at all.
I mean, I think it's more similar to fudge than to cake. Like, you know, I think flourless cake is an oxymoron. You can't have flourless cake.
I think that, well, you know, on which part of the argument I tend to err. I tend to err on the emotional side because I don't think it's possible to view food from purely a nomenclature or judgmental position that you have, because I think food is too laden with emotion and custom and comfort. And I definitely think pie is among the top of those laden issues. I mean, that's why people who come from all over the world to the United States, they sit down, they have a triangular piece of pie with a crust and a cup of coffee. They're having an American experience. It's just a gestalt.
All right, stand by. I'm just looking up what that word means again. An organized whole that is perceived as more than the sum of its parts. Yes, okay, right. Yes, of course. Thank you. Okay. So, Evan, I got an email from a Sporkful listener named Jules who writes, "Where I come from, the heart of Pennsylvania Dutch country, a pot pie is not made in a pie crust and baked in the oven. Those are meat pies. A true pot pie is this amazing dish made with meat, onions, potatoes, and dough, all made in a giant pot because it's pot pie. My boyfriend here in Seattle and I have been arguing for 6 years about this. He insists those frozen things in the grocery store are pot pies, and I explained to him that the lack of a pot in the making of his pies means that he is wrong. What say you?"
I think Jules is right. And I think the pot pies we're used to seeing are a marketing ploy that happened when frozen food first came on the scene. Why wouldn't they just be called chicken pies?
Chicken pot pie maybe sounds nicer.
No, it only sounds nicer because we're used to it. I want you to know that right now I'm getting so hungry, and the fact that I don't have any of these pies available to me immediately is starting to make me very peckish.
Before I let you go, Evan, we have another follow-up question from Emily in Cambridge who asked the original question about the definition of a pie. Let's hear once again from Emily.
"What's your favorite kind of pie, and what do you think that I should make next Thanksgiving to hopefully win that contest?"
Well, my favorite pie is like a childhood thing. So it's a boysenberry pie made of my super flaky, buttery crust and a streusel crumble topping that I will sometimes put underneath. I'll thwack on top of the berries lemon quark, quark being a German cream cheese-like thing. It's something in between cream cheese and mascarpone.
Wow. And streusel, is that like streusel? Or am I just saying that right?
Yes, it's streusel. I guess okay. it's another pronunciation, yes. But I like the kind that's very bouldery and not so sandy.
Yeah, right. You want those big chunks.
And I would say this is what she needs to make to win that contest. And I have a recipe for her that I can share. It is a... Let me see if I can remember this title. It involves a lot of ingredients. A brown butter, maple syrup, sweet potato pie with a ginger snap crust.
Wow. Now I'm peckish. That sounds really, really good. You have that recipe, Evan?
I've done my job. Yes, I do.
Can we share it? Can we post it on Sporkful.com with this episode?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Evan Kleiman, the show is Good Food. It airs on KCRW in Los Angeles. And as a podcast, wherever you got this podcast, you should definitely check it out. Evan, always a pleasure. Happy Pie Day.
Thank you, Dan.
That's it for this week. And yes, the recipe Evan mentioned is on our website. Two quick reminders. We're doing a live Sporkful taping at the Chicago Cocktail Summit on April 2nd with special guest Peter Sagal of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Get your tickets now at cocktailsummit.com. And check out my new Cooking Channel animated web video series, The Snackdown. Go to cookingchanneltv.com/snackdown. And if you like it, please share it. Thank you. This show is produced by Ann Sani and me, editing help from Dan Charles, music help from Black Label Music. Happy Pi Day, one and all. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
This is Paul from Escovina, California, reminding you to eat more, eat better, eat more better.